Rorik Honda in Bloomfield looks a little different. They're selling inventory at record rates, and the showroom looks a little scarce. But the good news is there's a storage area to replenish the new and used best finds.
You can still find your favorite style and model in a CR-V, a Pilot, and a Fit, with plenty of backups waiting to be put front and center in the showroom. As always, visit Rorik.com for all of your vehicle needs.
And now we start the Jagoff podcast. Porched J&D Waterproofing Porch Tour Stop number 3.
At... Do it. Go ahead. It's your favorite.
Do it.
I can't help it.
Johnny Angel's house.
He cannot help it. And my mom's, too.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the... out of you.
Yeah, jagoff.
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
This is Kevin Wild Bill.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle.
Hi, this is Rocky Blair.
Hey, it's Rick Seaback.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Santonio Holmes.
And this is the Jagoff Podcast. Have to reminisce real quickly, because this is one of those scenarios where we did the porch tour here last year in celebration that my mom had had her liver surgery, and we are over a year, and I want people to see her because she looks absolutely amazing. I know you don't want to be on camera. I know, Mom, I'm sorry, but we are so blessed and so lucky that she's here and she's vibrant and she helped make all this food tonight. So thanks to those people who helped make this possible.
And it's a testament to the human cause, right? Because
someone... And your
someone,
partner. I'm a product of those people.
A live liver donor is how your mom is here today.
Yes.
And so if you're listening and you don't believe in donations of organs and blood and things like that, Mary Lou, we can sit here and tell you the story about Mary Lou if we wanted to, and see, you would see exactly the difference that it's made in everybody's life here. So we are here celebrating that. We are at the home of Johnny Angel and his wife, Mary Lou. But we always go on the porch tours. But if you're listening to the podcast for the very first time, this is where we ask you to just hit pause on the button and go to the radio.com app and hit subscribe, or Apple,
don't
iTunes,
pause.
Wherever.
Just wait till you're done listening and then
somehow hit subscribe.
Yeah,
right?
Just subscribe. Right. This is also where we talk about what's on the blog, which we had a lot of good blog posts this week, but we're going to do a shameless plug instead because we're super excited. John actually sent out, we don't normally blog on Saturdays, but we did today because we are so honored and excited. We are up as finalists for a Golden Quill, which is a real journalistic award, and it's in the category of podcasts, and we're up for two.
Yeah.
So we're super excited because I said, as a journalist, I was never able to get a story in there. And then I partner with this great guy, and here we are with two podcasts up for finalists.
If you don't know what the Golden Quills are, they're really a media, official media outlet. Yep. And it's not like you could even go vote. It's people from outside of the area who listen to the podcast and all the other entries
in a category,
and considered us to be one of the finalists in a certain category.
Yeah.
So now on September 3rd, as you're listening to this, on September 3rd is when we'll find out if we actually won the award.
But
a finalist is a big deal because, it's not yinzers that listen to the podcast.
No, and we're super excited about that. And so we're kind of recreating or reprising the guests who were on for our next podcast, so that'll be lots of fun. So.
Right.
Anyway, and also the other shameless plug, this one you can vote for, but we are nominated for the City Paper Best of Blog, so you can go on and vote. We actually have the links in the show notes, and Best of Podcast for the City of Pittsburgh. And Greenfield Podcast, we're coming at you.
Yeah, right. All right,
that's
the podcast. So listen, this is an interesting podcast because we've had podcasts where we looked at the future, like Pittsburghers are going to be driving moon things around, around the surface of the moon. We're going to have a hyperloop someday, but we're going to go backward in time because it was because the music from years ago is how we want to relive back in time.
That's it.
Right?
Well, my dad definitely does. He
right?
has not moved elsewhere, but I agree. I think that's what we need to do. Before we start talking to my dad, because we could go on for hours, let's talk to our sponsors, J&D Waterproofing, because we have Harry Larry. Listen, we don't know his name. That, I mean, that's the bottom line. We do not know this guy's name. He shows up and he looks around at people's porches and he tells them good and bad things and then he leaves. And we call him Harry Larry. So hopefully we're around the mark of what
And he calls us Melantina or something like that. Is that
Gloria.
Right? Gloria.
Gloria. Mount Gloria.
Yeah, it wasn't 100.
So J&D Waterproofing, based in Cannonsburg, but you guys go all over the place. So we've talked about you on every porch tour, but let's talk about something a little bit different. You guys not only do J&D Waterproofing, as your name says, you do lots of things. Windows, driveways.
Home remodeling in general.
Yeah.
You do driveways.
Cement? Yeah.
There you go.
Does my husband know that?
I'll be there.
Have you seen
Give me a call. I'll give you my card.
What's the coolest project J&D has done, say even in the last couple of years?
For me, it's always room additions.
Okay.
They're all different.
Yeah.
And you got to be figured different. And got to be done properly so you don't overcharge anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the jobs on a continuous basis.
Is that the biggest question you get is about pricing?
It's a lot of it's pricing. A lot of us are NAMO.
Yeah.
And to me, it's out of my head. Yeah. I just price it out, and this is what it is.
Dad, you want to say something? I know it. Go ahead.
The best job they ever did was at my house, my old house.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you know you guys did my
house? No, I didn't.
I had a water problem in my old house before we sold it and bought this one. And we were looking everywhere, trying to get estimates and this and that. And John and Rachel said, hey, we have somebody that does that. And your guys come over, they did it, and it was, bone dry. They killed it. They crushed it.
They even did some extra stuff. We're not going to go into that, Harry Larry, because...
That's because he fed them like he's feeding everybody tonight.
Yeah. Little food.
Oh, one of those guys. Hi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But no, it's definite. Listen, walking testimonials, that's the key, right, is when one person says, hey, this is my go-to guy, and that's how it works. 81 years of that, right?
81. And going on, this is plus two. Yeah. 82 years now.
That's
wow.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's a great thing. Fully insured and going to town.
Yeah. Nice.
Even during COVID, you were deemed essential, so no worries if something happens.
Yeah, I couldn't collect. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I loved every minute of it. Please.
I love how you ask us to write you a note to your boss and say that you're working tonight.
Yeah.
So where does everybody find you guys online? J&D Waterproofing?
That's it.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
JandyWaterproofing.com and follow on social media. And if you have any questions, let us know and we can direct you to Harry Larry.
800 Very Dry.
It is not a problem to have Harry Larry come to your house. He'll come and hang out.
Yeah. Right? Oh, he will.
He might watch some soap. Are you a soap opera guy?
No.
All right.
But put on Penn State football.
Oh,
the classics.
State.
The classics.
Now,
this is Pittsburgh. Yeah, Pittsburgh, too. Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Didn't one of the H&D owners cut my grass once?
J&D. But yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sean.
Oh, yeah.
Sean. He's not an owner, but yes.
Yeah. The last porch party.
He really did. He did cut the grass at one point. We did a video with him. That was fun.
Right, well, thanks for coming. We appreciate it. Now we go to Jack. Jack. Johnny Angel, we are at your house. The funny thing is we gave a starting time of 6 o'clock, but nobody was allowed to start anything until you made sure every guest was completely content with food, wine, sangria, Jameson, desserts, and everything. So it's terrible when we come to your house because we want you to chill, but in the meantime, you're serving everybody. And look at this.
Well, that's the way I chill.
Okay.
If I'm not busy, I get nervous, and I love to cook, and
your mind goes,
and,
right?
My mind goes too much. It's like, but I have fun tonight. I mean,
why are you excited for tonight?
Well, tonight I have. For those of you that know my music history, when I first broke into the business, I'm talking like in the '60s. There was a group in Western Pennsylvania that were our idols. I mean, they, in my opinion, they are the greatest blue-eyed soul group that ever lived. I mean, their harmonies are impeccable. They're great friends. They sing, they play, and the name of the group is the Jaggers. And when Rachel and John asked me about who I would like for a musical guest, I said, well, I'd love to have Jimmy Ross and Benny Faiella, who are the original members of the Jaggers. Mm. And to this day, still have some of the greatest harmony I've ever heard. And when we were coming up through the ranks as the Cordells, we were playing in some of the rooms that the Jaggers already owned. I mean, they owned these rooms, and we would play there. And I remember going in, and I was watching them right before their first album, and they were doing this choreography stuff where they would walk in and out of each other's guitars. And And their singing was just like, and I'd say to my guys, do you hear that? That's the sound. You need harmony. You need, and my guys were more like, they liked the British, originally, the British Invasion thing. And I was a soul guy. And there wasn't a better blue-eyed soul band in the nation than the Jaggers. So I said, let's bring Benny and Jimmy on board. And, of course...
Just a little name.
I'd like to
name
build a shrine right here.
Well, what's funny is that I always tell Rachel I could sit and listen to you tell stories of the past forever, and people don't have to do that now. They don't have to show up at your house and do that because we taught you how to blog.
I'm blogging,
and you
man.
Are blogging every day. And
another stories, shameless plug for us.
Stories, right? Stories like you just told are on your blog every day. And honest to God, I mean, this is. The Jaggers, if like we were explaining to Michael, our intern, and Colin, like how big the Jaggers really were. They were a national act,
number one record in the country.
Yeah,
and the rapper is one of the big. But I don't want to offend them in any way. The rapper was a great hit, but that wasn't my favorite. Got to Find My Way Back Home, and their album they did for the Philadelphia label was the best. I mean, it was like their soul stuff to this day is one of my favorite albums. I still play their stuff on my show, and the people in the Carolinas will say, who was that? And I'll go, it's the Jaggers, man. And the Jaggers, you know them by the rapper, but this is the real stuff here.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about your black. Talk a little bit, though, about, you know, for people who don't know, we love any opportunity to collaborate. And we've collaborated with you and Roraconda on these pick up and go comedy shows.
Yes.
Which has been great because we're on our third one. We're selling them out. Basically, they're in a parking lot. But talk to everybody a little bit about what is Ginchy Stuff and why is it important, especially during these times, that if people aren't, you know, into collecting right now, because let's face it, it's a weird time. What is the importance of Ginchy Stuff having longevity and how that ties into the park stuff we're doing?
Well, I've always wanted a place in Pittsburgh that tells the story about Pittsburgh music and Pittsburgh culture with music. And although I was involved with the Vocal Group Hall of Fame and there's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it doesn't tell... any of them tell the story of Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is such a staple of great music. So my little museum that I have down there is basically, it's the history of Pittsburgh music. It's the history of everyone I've ever worked with. And I'm talking about Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, Temptations, Four Tops, Martha and the Vandellas. To me, when I walk in there, it's a slice of my life and a slice of what Pittsburgh's all about.
Mm-hmm.
What's nice about it, keeping this alive, is that a lot of people that can't afford to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame can come to Pittsburgh, to Manchester, and come in and see a museum that has, I won't say everything that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does, but the stuff that's in my museum is authentic. It's from the people. I worked with them. And there's stories. Every case that you go to, there's a story involved. So it's nice to see people who are affected by this COVID right now that can't go out and can't do anything, and when they come down and they have a mask on and they can walk through and they can hear history about music, and it just does me wonders.
Yeah. And it's more than just history on music. It's pop culture within Pittsburgh.
It is.
Right? And so I think that's the important part, because you do have stories about other musicians and such, but it's really the heart and soul of Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I'm not blowing smoke because you're sitting here. The fun part is to go
to
the museum.
You want that food.
And look at the picture, and you're there with this particular person, and then you tell the story. You're like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. Right? And then you show this picture, and I've told this story a million times. You don't know who this person is. And you go, this is so and so. You go, okay, whatever. And then you sing the song. You go, get the hell out of here.
Yeah,
you know. And so, go ahead. So, and when you think about it, like people like your friend Porky Chadwick.
Yes.
You know, talk about now. If you're 30 years old and you're listening to this podcast, go Google Porky Chadwick.
Absolutely.
But you knew him. He was a great friend. But what was his influence on Pittsburgh music as a white DJ?
Whammo, not just a white DJ,
right.
DJ on a black radio station.
A lot of people back in the day didn't know the Porky was white, because Porky played what they called back then the devil's music.
Mm-hmm.
It was the music that most white kids weren't allowed to listen to. And it was black rhythm and blues, which is, to me, that is music. I mean, when I was a kid, and I remember on my paper route, and you had an AM radio, and you'd put it on, you'd hear Patti Page and Pat Boone, and you'd hear Pat Boone doing a Little Richard song, which I didn't even know Little Richard did it at that time, but you'd go like, and then you heard Little Richard do it, and it was his song. But they wouldn't play it on regular radio because of the black. They were black and they weren't.
The times,
The times. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Porky Chadwick took all these old 78s of rhythm and blues and started playing them, and you could pick them up on your AM radio. So I wasn't going to listen to them at home. I would sit in my room with the earplug in and listen to Porky. And Porky gave me an education for music. Now, this is where the tie-in comes to my museum. So all these people that really, they gave me the urge to want to sing and to play, and that soul that comes from inside, I got to work with them. I mean, I worked with Richard Berry. I worked with Harvey Fuqua. I've worked. And when you're standing next to a Harvey Fuqua from the Moonglows and you're singing his harmony for him, and this is just.
Tell them, what's the song? What's the song that they could recognize?
Yeah, this is kind of like the, at the museum, yeah.
Sincerely.
Oh.
Oh, okay, yeah.
All right. Penny Arcade. I mean, When I'm With You. I mean, there's just so many of them. And it, like, I remember talking with Jimmy Beaumont one day, and Jimmy said to me, the Moonglows were my group. He said, I used to listen to the Moonglows harmony, and that's what really inspired me to be the Skyliners. And Jimmy Beaumont is a legend. I mean, he's another one, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So Porky Chadwick introduced us to that.
Yep.
And for years, people thought Porky was black because of the music and the culture. And most of the black entertainers that I worked with and toured with later in my career, like the Cleftones and Teenagers and so on, as soon as we'd get together, they would tell me a story about Porky.
He was really respected.
Oh, my God. They'd come to Pittsburgh. Porky would pick them up in his station wagon. He'd have a bucket of chicken waiting because every musician loved chicken. It was like, that was like the international meal, and pizza.
Wow.
If it weren't for pizza and chicken, would have starved. Right? And, you know, they would say, oh, my God, Porky. And he was the first jock to really break our record. Mm. And the thing that was amazing back in the day was that even though you had New York as the hub of all music, so say, most black artists knew they were going to have a hit if it was written up in the Pittsburgh Courier, which was right here.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Pittsburgh Courier wrote about it, it was going to be a hit. And that's what just about everyone from the Eldorados to everyone I've ever worked with or met, they would say that. If we saw it written up in the Pittsburgh Courier, it meant that Porky probably played it and they covered it.
How about that? And they're still going.
So is there anyone today, because radio is, I know we're part of radio.com, so we're not ripping, but nobody, they don't really have the freedom, they don't really have the freedom to do those kind of things.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there anyone today that's, or what's the last Porky Chadwick we would have ever known? Like Alan Freed or, you know?
Alan Freed was given the title of being the father of rock and roll, and they said he coined rock and roll. I don't believe he did, because now you just listen to this history. Alan Freed started, I believe, 52 in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Porky Chadwick was on WHOD in Pittsburgh in 49 playing race music.
Okay.
And the signal used to go to Cleveland.
So screw Cleveland again.
I'm
just saying there.
Right.
And when you hear rock and roll, I mean, rock and roll did not mean music back in the day. Rock and roll was a sexual term. I mean, it was... We're rocking and rolling tonight. I mean, that's what that means.
Okay. Hey, hide the kids, everybody.
Are you even listening?
So you can edit that part, but you needed to hear the history.
That is the most, I don't know, other than knowing how Moni came about, that's the most revealing tidbit we've ever had on the podcast.
And we're going to move along. I could have segued that much better, so... Anyway, but getting back to your blogs, because it all does tie in. So we love the fact that you have Ginchy stuff, because Ginchy is a word from the 60s that means
50s.
Cool.
50s.
Sorry,
yeah.
I get it wrong.
Ginchy means cool.
Cool.
It first
Gidget
started
said it, right?
Before Gidget.
Okay.
It was done by Kookie on 77 Sunset Strip. When he used to see Connie Stevens or someone walk by, he'd say, what a Ginchy chick,
there
which means
go.
Cool.
Who didn't know that?
And then, go ahead.
And so Ginchy stuff is our sort of pride, not sort of, it's our pride and joy, because all of the stuff that you had in our bedrooms and in our closets and in our attic is now there, but on display in a really unique way. But you have a retail portion as well.
Yes.
That people can come in and really enjoy the pop culture. That has been amazing. You've been there for 2 years now. But what really has worked for you is truly, all kidding aside, this blogging. It's given you a platform. I know we hate that word today, but... It's a platform for you to be able to be a little more creative and get your word out in a way that you didn't think you could before.
I love it because people that I haven't seen or heard or haven't even been to my museum are reading about the stuff that's in there. And
right.
each day they respond to it and they say stuff like, I remember when I went to such and such. And I remember that day I heard that on the radio.
Or sure.
Like today I talked about the poor man's vacation spot, Presque Isle.
Yep.
You know, yeah.
If you're from Pittsburgh, I mean, you either went to Conneaut or Lake Erie. I mean, that was like it. That
yeah.
was
That's funny.
And the people had said, oh, man, I remember the first time I stayed in one of those cabins. You
yeah,
know, it's like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they can basically follow you every day on yeah. your Genji stuff. You post it to your Genji stuff on Facebook.
Yep.
And then you share it usually to what? Johnny Angel and the Halos also?
That and yeah. Genji stuff. Yeah.
But it's jagenjistuff.com?
Yeah. jagenjistuff. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not Cinchy stuff, as Mike Seidel said.
Mike Seidel.
We told him three times, Genji, not Cinchy. Genji, not Cinchy. He went up and said, Johnny Angel, Cinchy stuff.
And then they say Chinchy stuff, which means. It's not chinchy by any means.
Right. Yeah, right.
That's
no,
right.
Sure. But we and honestly, John and I even talk each day about the cool stories that you've, you know, written and alluded to and the memories that it, like you said, that it jars for people. So definitely check it out because it's a way to reminisce and yeah. really live in that time zone again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So cool.
Listen, you're the best host. You really are.
Wow.
So I'm moving in.
Yeah.
I'm moving.
Wow.
He feeds the homeless every week. I come here to get leftovers every week.
I love to cook. I mean, you know, it's funny. Last week on my show, my radio show, I had someone call and ask me for a recipe while I was on the air.
And that's so funny.
I actually typed my recipe.
Was it Mom?
No, it wasn't Mom. She's still the best cook.
Yeah, I mean, she is.
I'm trained, but she's still the best.
That's
agreed.
Awesome. All right.
Mary
so
Mac, you need to come talk food with my dad.
Yeah. Tell us what we should look forward to on the rest of the podcast. Jimmy and Benny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy Ross and Benny Fiella are here tonight. And you want to talk about the music, and you want to talk about, like, Gamble and Huff,
yeah.
which was... and I could go on for days. I mean, I'm probably yeah. one of their biggest fans. They don't know it, but I'm
right.
one of their biggest fans.
Same.
But what they'll tell you the stories about how it was and some of the things they made them do when they went with Gamble and Huff and just their competition into the market. I mean, it's like
– different times for sure.
Yeah,
and let's talk about one more thing. I'm sorry I keep extending this, but we were at your place. We walked in. There's this gentleman sitting on a stool just talking to you. He leaves. He goes, by the way, that's the guy that wrote the song for the
he
Spinners.
He called me because, you know, he's
what?
Terrible with names.
What?
Right? He goes, great. I just left your dad's
what?
Place, and he was with this guy, and he wrote a song for the Spinners. I was like,
Melvin Steele.
Melvin Steele.
And he wrote a song for the Jaggers.
That's, I mean, you know, and what was the song?
Hey, Jimmy, what Spinners? Was the song that Melvin wrote for you guys? Together Forever? And Gotta Find My Way Back Home.
Okay.
And Together Forever, right?
Okay. And what was the Spinner song?
Could It Be I'm Falling in Love?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Who
did Honeybee? I mean, there's right? probably 52 songs
Look at Mary's
that he's written.
Face. Right. Yeah.
yeah.
Right.
You just walk into
funny.
Jack's Museum, and that's what you. There's yeah. the kind of people that are hanging yeah. out there. So it's great.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate
We're
all your hospitality.
We're gonna let him hang out while we talk.
Oh, that's
air,
awesome. You're
right?
gonna co-host with us. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, that's how we got the Moni thing out of those guys.
yeah.
Because he asked the question.
Mike all right.
Mary Mac of Mary Mac Bakehouse. Mary Mac, this standing chimney, almost said smoking chimney, which is stupid.
I was watching him like he's trying to say
yeah.
something. Not
Rachel's
sure what...
like, let him figure it out.
Yeah.
Let's watch him now. So, Mary Mac, you're one of the sponsors of the Porch Tour and usually the Fireplace Tour.
She brings amazing
you give
gifts.
Everybody, and you brought these amazing cinnamon buns. So let's talk about Mary Mac's buns tonight.
Wow. There
tonight,
you go.
I did hide one.
Well, and let's even peel back one more layer. So Mary Mac has been helping us really do a good job with these porch tours for years yeah. now. She sends the goodies. And everybody so far has said, the Pierces have said, oh, my God, where do we get more of this? Oh, they're fantastic people. Yeah. And Jay and Jay Obertance told me that he was making pancakes yesterday. So there you go. But you certainly are a friend of the family at this point, too. I mean, when my mom was going through her stuff, you sent care packages. My dad is very picky. And let me tell you, we brought him cookies of yours, and they were the pretzel cookies
yeah.
from the pretzel salad cookies, rather. And my dad said, these are good. I mean, and he's tough to crack. So I got to tell you, kudos to you because baked goods, I mean,
well,
he's hiding them, you're in, sister.
When you got them, I said,
who are these for?
Yes.
She goes, well, I'm going to give some to my dad. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay. All right.
The best thing is you got a 5 out of 5 at the Rennebeck
yeah,
house.
The Rennebecks. Yes. Yeah, I mean, in fact, they looked around at all these musicians, and they were like, Mary Mack is here. I bet she brought the cookies.
There were 2 cookies left, and they were so mad that Rachel was saving them for Colin and
His
Hannah.
His kids, yeah.
They wanted to fight. No. So Mary Mack, tell us a little bit about your podcast, your recipes, and what you do.
Well, our podcast is In the Kitchen with Mary Mack, and what we do, we do a little bit of recipe research is one thing, because I find a lot of times when you get a recipe online or in a cookbook or in a newspaper or something, it doesn't work. And I think a lot of people give up because they try to make something and they're like, this is terrible, I'm never cooking again.
Right.
So I try to find recipes that are maybe popular at the time that people are trying to make, and then I make them and see what's wrong with them and fix them. So that's one thing I do.
I love that.
And then I like to find, like this week, we're going to be doing a podcast Sunday about the Fannie Farmer cookbook.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is way more interesting than it sounds, I hope. But I thought that was we do a lot of history kind of things, the history of a certain food,
yes.
The history of cookbooks or whatever. So we do that kind of stuff, too. And then we try to do things that kind of go along with our products that we have also. So I've done some bread baking ones. I did one, how to make your own vanilla. It was hilarious. We did a how to save money by making your own vanilla, but it was kind of tongue in cheek. And then we found out that we saved like $60 making our own vanilla. So we were like,
how about that?
Hey, wow. That was cool. Yeah. We got vanilla beans and vodka, and we tried it a couple different ways. That it's so funny because people will say, all you do is get vodka and throw a vanilla bean in it, but it's not quite that. So you do have to do
it. I had
no
idea.
You know, right. But you can make
like it.
Yeah, you can make it, and it's about a third of the price of what vanilla is, real vanilla is.
Wow.
So
how long does it take to make vanilla?
It takes about 2 to 3 months to get it usable. But if you want it to be really good, you put it together and put it in the back of a cupboard and let it set for about a year. And it takes
wow.
a long. That's why vanilla is one of the reasons it's expensive. It's time consuming, and also the way that vanilla is grown.
So what?
Mary, you started with and I was like minutes, <You're> like, months.
So I might be putting you on the spot with this question. So why is Mexican vanilla, like when people go on cruises, they
That's
go get vanilla in Mexico? Is there a reason for that? Do you know?
That's one of the places it grows, and it's probably as far as marketability, the better place to get it, but the best vanilla comes from Madagascar.
Okay.
And one of the reasons,
which we all know from the Disney
yes,
movie.
Yes.
That's the only piece, that's the only
place,
reason people know where Madagascar is.
That's what
is.
The cartoon characters did.
Yeah.
But it's hand pollinated. So actually vanilla comes from an orchid. It's like the seed pod of an orchid. But on Madagascar, there's no pollinator for that particular flower. So they have to hand pollinate. Now in Mexico, there is a pollinator for it. So it's not quite as labor intensive, but
okay.
still, it's, you know, if you think about an orchid and how many seed pods you might get off of one orchid, you're not going to get a lot. So that's why it's
the
so
things
expensive.
You learn.
The Jagoff podcast is not educational, right?
No one. Yeah,
like,
they better
we'll
not.
You in the
yeah,
face
so
if you
yeah.
say that.
Sometime next week, I think you're having Aaron Kleiber on your pickup truck.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
make sure you ask Aaron Kleiber about making vanilla. Make sure
Did
you
he
ask
try?
Him that.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, he'll tell you something.
Okay.
All right. Did you ever open a vanilla bean?
No.
It's a long, almost looks like a skinny green bean. Okay. And you slit it, and when you open it up, you take your knife and slide it along to get the vanilla insert.
Yeah, all those little right. seeds.
So
and
it's not the bean I get on yes. my coffee when I go through bean through.
No.
And I pop it in my mouth.
When they put it on the top.
And I love when they do that, yeah.
Right.
Huh,
oh
I did
God.
Not know that.
Mary Mack, you're full of information.
Mary, when you're entertaining.
I'm a wealth of useless information, so that's
no.
why I have
no,
a podcast.
No, no, no.
Right.
Well, right.
You should subscribe to the podcast.
When you are entertaining or when someone is entertaining, what is the tip that you would give that's that go-to thing to eat or to make?
I would say this, the variety of dips that you can do with objects to dip into them
yes.
is staggering.
Yes.
So a simple thing to do if you're entertaining, and even if it's a meal type of a thing, you can have, in my family, we have a lot of different food, what would you call it, sensitivities.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people that are vegan. We have people that are lactose intolerant. We have people that are One of my kids is actually has a citric acid intolerance. Mm. So if you do something like with dips and vehicles to dip with, you could do anything from hummus to different sorts of vegetable dips to sauce type of dips, and have vegetables, fruit, bread, crackers, chips, whatever. So you could make a whole buffet out of that. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. We've done it a few times for family parties. For example, we've done like a nacho buffet.
Yeah.
And basically had all these different things for with your nachos. And it's kind of simple. And usually my go-to thing for anything like that is do something that you do well.
Yeah.
That's not a new thing.
Right, right.
And it's simple.
Yep.
Try to stay simple because it makes less stress for you. And then you get to enjoy the party too. Because usually, you know, a lot of times.
Well, we just talked about that, right? Our gracious host was running around so much. We also have to
my dad's like stuffed peppers, and I'm like, I mean, no,
right.
Dad,
we're all
sit
going
down.
Home fat with
like,
high cholesterol
down.
Tonight, and we'll be happy about it. Mary Mack, you're also the secret behind our new Pittsburgh parking chair Christmas ornament.
Year four.
Yeah. And so we are working together on that. So we
and we're not telling anyone just yet.
Where does we have a question
of the day.
Before we do that, where does everybody find you?
We are on Facebook at Mary Mack Bakehouse. We are on Instagram, Mary Mack Bakehouse.
M-A-C, Mary Mack.
Mary Mack, M-A-R-Y-M-A-C. We are on Twitter, Mary Mack Podcast, and Mary Mack Bakehouse to go. We have a website, Mary Mack Bakehouse, and you can find the podcast there. You can find our web store where you can find our mixes.
Oatmeal
and
mixes,
cookies.
Muffin mixes.
Yeah. Yeah, we have all kinds of things on there. We're going to be coming out with something, too, because from this porch tour, we do this. We call it the Mary Mack Gift Pack, which we give to the host.
Gift pack.
And I thought, boy, that's heavy. How'd that clonk down?
It just clonked right on the table there. So, like, is there a dead body in there?
Oh, it's more mixes.
There's a bottle of Jameson in there. No.
So we're going to do something. We're going to call it a gift pack, different themed gift packs. But you can go on if you want to send a gift to somebody. You'll be able to get Paul Farms syrup, pancake mixes, dip mixes, muffin mixes, scone mixes all together like a gift.
It,
so if you want to send breakfast to somebody, you can send them a selection. We're going to have a variety of different breakfasts.
Johnny Angel pancake.
You know? Let's do it. I
can do a Johnny Angel mix. Just have to tell me what you like. I'll make a mix out of it.
Oh, my God.
What's nice about it is you've made it
like
so anybody can do it.
Yeah, we tried to make it really simple for people that have never done anything before.
Yeah.
The
bread
mix has step-by-step instructions, and I tested it out on a friend of mine who I had to loan oil to, a baking pan, shortening, and a cooling rack.
I told you not to tell anybody. My neighbor Mary would say that. My neighbor Mary would be like, Rachel would like add it to her list, wouldn't she?
So yeah, our mixes are very simple, and the instructions are very simple. We make them so that if you've never baked before, you can easily go through and have a successful bake.
So this could be a daily dose of happiness, just saying.
A successful bake in other people's minds is a little bit different, but we know what you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not pretzel jello salad.
It's not.
I even threw in my new grilling spices.
Even the spices are here.
So you're all set. So I'll be over, pick a day, and you can use all those spices.
All right, bye-bye.
Don't cook that rabbit, though, that's in your backyard.
We've now lost control.
My bunnies are here.
Yeah. Right now.
Thank God the rabbits are here. We're going to start talking about wildlife.
Question of the day.
Question of the day. How many washes does it take to wear a pair of jeans?
No. How many days can you wear a pair of jeans
without
washing it?
Wow, that's tough because
it's
depends.
The same question I just said.
I would say... Two wears, maybe.
Wow, I'm dirty.
Two wears.
Yeah, I got to tell you.
Dad, tell me you're going more than
I'm three times that. I'm three
I have two answers.
Okay.
I have a retiree.
Yeah.
A retiree's jeans.
Okay.
And I have a rock and roller's jeans.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh.
My rock and roll jeans, you only wear them once.
Oh.
Okay.
Because it loses its look. Unless you are a hardcore rocker, and then you want it to look soiled and dirty.
Right.
Yeah.
But I always wore dress jeans, so my jeans had to look like my tux pants.
Okay.
So I wore them all the time.
All right. Retirement
now that
Jack,
I'm retired,
please
it's
give me
a
better.
Nice.
I'm around that. Yeah. Like my showers.
This is awesome.
Listen,
Mary,
you're the best.
Jack, are you hanging out?
Yeah, I think you should stay.
You guys are the best, too.
Get Jimmy
thank
and
you.
Over
yep. That's
really,
they're
really,
up next.
This is really fun. Very fun. Thank
glad
you
you're
so
here.
Much for having me.
Thank you.
Good kissing. Call on me, baby. Oh, I'll be right here at home. Yeah.
Jurassic Park over here.
It is. So as before we get started with the interviews, Jack and Mary Lou have become the St. Francis of the North Hills right now. They have rabbits. One day I came in, there was a rabbit laying in his front yard like a dog, just laying on the side, waiting for a carrot. It was crazy. One of our podcast sponsors is Taddy Bogle Cider, which is out near Seven Springs. And they're putting this little resort place together where you can go out there and hang out and try the cider. I'm a German Irish guy. You guys have to help me out with these Italian stuff.
Okay.
All right.
There we go.
So as we continue the podcast here, we have Benny Fiallo, we have Jim Ross, and we have Johnny Angel. And this is, again, as we said in the beginning of the podcast, we normally go forward. Like, what's Pittsburgh looking forward to? Going to the moon and all these things. But tonight, we're going backwards because we love our past.
Yeah, and I get the lucky part of John saying, this was your life, right? I didn't even know it at the time. And I'm sure your kids say the same thing. But I very randomly and often say, well, when my dad and we were playing with the Jaggers, and people are like, what? You know, or the Vogues played at my wedding. You know, or my dad was with, you know, Motown in some ways. It's such an odd, to us it was normal. I can't even imagine what it was like for you guys. I think I want you to start by talking about what's it like now. You were just talking about Ashley Marina, right? Mm-hmm. Perfect example. What is it like now to see these musicians and how far technology has brought us and what it looks like now compared to when you were starting? As my dad was saying, everybody was in this like dogfight, right? And you had no idea where you were going to be steered.
We didn't know from when we first were going to get our first recording contracts and stuff and radio plays, you know, how did that all come about? We were always wondering about how do you get your record played on the radio, you know? So record companies did have promotion people that would send copies of promo records to all these stations. And
Multiple.
Okay. And who's to say which one out of, if they got 25 records in one day or a dozen records in one day, which one are they listen to them? And they got to come up with picking the right one. So they're programmed. These people for the record company would come in and call them and say, "Hey, listen, could you pay attention to this? I want you to play this song here. Take a listen."
I hate to say that.
That's where it is.
Might be a little bit of kickback. I don't know what, but they got, you know, we managed to get your records played on the radio and aired. And
well, how did you guys do it? So what was that like? What was that moment like when you said, we're ready to let these people hear us? Do you remember that moment?
Well, when we got to Philadelphia to do our first records down there, we just knew we had something.
Okay.
We knew that this group, the harmony that we had in this group, we fit like a glove. And we couldn't wait to get in the studio, and we did some things with Gamble and Huff, and we couldn't wait for the songs to come out. And then when our first single came out, Baby, I Love You, that was unbelievable to hear that on the radio.
Yeah.
What was that like? So are you driving? Well, when did you hear it?
Wait, I was driving right here in Bellevue with Billy Maybrink. He was the lead singer for Baby, I Love You.
Right. Okay.
It was raining that day so bad. And we were like right where McDonald's is now down at Audible.
Yes.
I had to pull off. I pulled off the road there, and we were so excited that we could hear Porky was on Whammo, and there we're playing Baby, I Love You. First time we heard ourselves, I was with Billy together. It was great.
Did you know it was coming on?
No.
Did you know that certain, but you just, it was
no,
completely
it didn't.
Random?
They just all of a sudden said, here's a new release by the Jaggers, Baby, I Love You. Dun, 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 dun. That's how it had a very unique beginning song of the song, you know. And I had to pull off the road. That was great.
Yeah, it was
fantastic.
I can't remember where I was. That was a long time ago, you know.
Sure, sure. But what was that feeling like once you knew, man, that song is out? I have to do more? Was it that kind of feeling?
No, we went out and bought 7 Lincolns.
That's what we did.
No, we really did.
Yeah, we did.
We leased. We got 7 Lincolns, one for our manager, and we couldn't wait to go out and perform, and we drove all the Lincolns up to the jobs, and it was, Ben, you remember that?
Oh, I remember that was in Beaver Falls. Listen, we went to Beaver Falls. If you go on the internet, you probably could see this picture of all of us.
Yeah.
And we're lined up at the dealership, and we're standing in front, right in front of each Lincoln Mark III. And, and we got a picture of all of us taking it. And it was something, you know.
Because we were on the road, and we just came back, and it was Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
And they were... Naturally, they were closed for Memorial Day, but they opened up for us, and both garage doors were open, and all these 7 Lincolns were in a line. Oh, it was fabulous. Mine was purple.
And this is crazy because...
Mine was red. I had a red one.
What people listening to this podcast probably don't realize, there was no Facebook. What did you do with the pictures of you guys doing all that kind of stuff?
Well, Jimmy could...
I took a lot of pictures back then. I was the photo guy, you know.
Yeah, Jimmy.
And, we have all those pictures from back then.
Right.
How about you remember, though? I had red. I had purple. Right? That's the kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was deep purple with a white top and white interior. It was so sharp.
Mine was red and had white interior. And when you sat down in this Lincoln Mark III, you sat in that seat and you took a ride in this.
Yeah.
You cannot imagine how comfortable
you felt.
I went all the way to Kansas City in this.
Benny.
No. Wait, I did.
Was that just because you're like,
Kansas
I'm just
City.
Driving?
No, I went there. I too. A couple
Kansas
points.
City, here I come.
Benny went 79 south and got lost. He ended up in Kansas City.
Let me just relate, not getting off the subject with the cars. I want to get back to the Jaggers. When we started in 1965, 66, 67, we did all the songs and the music that we sang with the soul, from the soul and pop or whatever. We were pretty versatile. We did Beatles, we did Temptations, we did Impressions, but we were doing all these artists' songs and we did them very well, okay? For three or four years, we knew we had this talent. But we didn't have the. We needed original material.
Yep.
We needed our own stuff.
Okay.
That's when we got tied up with Joe Rock, who's the manager of the Skyliners.
Jimmy, yeah.
And Joe had some connections in New York and he in Philadelphia, and he said, "You know, listen, I think you guys really would fit with Gamble and Huff out of Gamble Records in Philadelphia. They're great writers. They were writing for." 3 Degrees. They were writing for the Intruders. They were writing for
OJ's.
Oh, Jim. They were writing these tunes and producing them. And these artists were singing their songs and selling million-selling records.
Wow.
We needed them bad. This was us. This was the Jaggers.
Right.
This was the Jaggers.
So you knew you had the sound, but you wanted someone to do the writing.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say, Doug?
You also got to remember that Gamble and Huff at that time, he was married to Dee Dee Sharp.
Right. I couldn't
and Dee Dee Sharp was managing a lot of the acts.
Dee Dee Sharp was the master.
He married her, yeah.
I'll tell you a story about that. You know what I mean?
But here's the thing about the Jaggers when they came out. There wasn't one lead singer. Every one of them could sing lead. It was like Billy Mabry, you got Donny Iris, you got Jimmy, you got Betty. And every one of them, when they'd sing a song, it was like watching the Temptations because they'd switch mics and do their thing. And their harmonies were like, am I right?
I have a CD in my car right now. If I brought it out and played it for you, you'd hear the original thing.
We want to hear it.
You go back 45 years, 50 years.
Yeah.
You're
this is crazy.
Struck.
Yeah, I am. I always am. So, Jack, you're watching this all happen. So I have two questions for Jim and Benny. What made you know the sound of the harmony? Was there somebody you were emulating, or you guys just how did you assemble that? And then I want Jack to answer. As you're watching from the sidelines, the Cordells, you're watching these guys. You're like, okay, do we have to emulate them? So Benny and Jim, just tell me a little bit about how you guys assembled the harmony. Why you thought that was important? Was that the sound at the time?
Well, we did all the black music back then, all the soul stuff, and all the harmony that all the other groups, and then we made it our own. We had our own kind of our own sound. When people came to a club or a concert to hear something, they knew they were going to sound. It sounded this close to the record.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
This close to the record. Mm-hmm. That's what they've been hearing all day. That's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear your own version. They want to hear what they've been hearing all day. And I think that was one of our successes.
And the individual talent in the group per man, like Donnie Iris, Jimmy Ross, and Billy Mabry, their distinctive vocal sound and the way you listen to a lead singer and you listen to background, when you're listening to that lead singer, how he's singing that song all through his notes up and down. There's certain songs for Jimmy Ross that by David Ruffin from the Temptations.
Oh yeah, I knew that one. That from Hall & Oates.
That or whatever. We knew right off the bat that Jimmy. This song's for Jimmy.
Yeah.
This song's not for Donnie. It's not for Bill. It's for Jimmy. And there were songs like that that were for Billy, not and right. and Donnie. Donnie at one point had Eddie Kendricks down.
Yeah, he did.
His beautiful falsetto voice, when I play that, certainly I hear him.
Come on, let's go out in the car and listen.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I wish I could bring it right in here and play it right now. I get so excited every time I hear it.
You know, when you get a lot of compliments when you're coming up the ladder, right? But when you get them from somebody that you know has been there and they are there and you watch them all, these guys. I remember we were playing at Man Fridays. And they were the headliner, and we were in the littler room, right? And we go on.
It's an actual room.
It's a room. Not on the same stage. We weren't good enough to be on their stage yet. and we would do our set, and then we'd run over to watch them. And it was like, I mean, same era. I mean, we started in '64, but we really weren't a group until '65. And in '66, you guys were on fire, man. It was like.
Getting back to Billy Mabry, he was probably. I mean, he had such a unique voice. Mm-hmm. When you heard him sing, you knew it was Billy.
Yep.
Great.
Somebody said, "Hey, did you ever hear this Billy Mabry?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Who is he? You know, who is he?" Well, he's playing down at the Club Natural in Beaver Falls. He plays this trio.
Wow.
See, this is when I was kind of looking for another guy to join the Jaggers. So I went down to hear him. He did this Little Anthony song. Oh, my God.
Who does Little Anthony?
Oh, my God. He was a young, powerful voice. And I said, I couldn't wait to talk to him.
He was great.
Yeah. I couldn't wait to get him interested in us.
I mean, your stories just never get old.
Oh, now we got thunder.
Here's my question, though. The Rapper is probably that song that everybody goes, the Jaggers, right?
Yeah,
the Rapper, right? Or and Find Your Way Back Home. I know it. Most people would know it. But was there ever that time where you went, I like this one better? You know, that became the hit, and that's what you're known for. But, man, if people would have really caught on to this one, did that happen at all?
I think Gotta Find My Way Back Home was more of what the Jaggers were.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the Rapper took.
Yeah, yeah. But the Rapper took off like crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it was the right time for the right song.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
One of my favorite Jagger songs that Billy Mabry sang was Forever Together. Forever Together.
Oh, yeah.
I love that song to death today.
Yeah,
we actually brought that song back in one of our CDs of Jaggers years as we were recording. And
what's the button?
Yeah, it's just great.
So here's my question, Jim. I ask you, you know, Jack talked about earlier in the podcast about Porky Chedwick playing the devil's music. So you guys are out playing the black music. So what interested you and Benny, what interested you guys in the music? And were you sneaking to listen to the music at home to learn about it?
No, I listened to Wham-O, all the time down in Beaver County where I lived. And I listened to Porky all the time, and that's the kind of stuff he played.
Okay.
So you could hear that vocal harmony, you know, I mean, and that really,
We liked it. Jimmy Pugliano, the drummer, I credit Jimmy a lot because, and Jimmy brought, Jimmy, you yourself too, you know, he used to come and bring these promo records. I don't know how he got a hold of all this material. He would bring songs to us, and we would listen to all, oh, guys, I like this one. Let's do this is going to be a hit. We would predict some of the hits before they were hits.
Wow. Yeah.
And we would start doing them before they were hits. And then they became hits.
Wow.
And we were like, oh, it was fantastic. And it happened.
But you need to hear the story of how the Jaggers became, because they didn't start as the Jaggers.
Okay.
You were three different bands.
We weren't asking this question, Jimmy.
Right?
Now we're going back.
I'll skirt it a little
all
bit.
All right, skirt it.
Yeah, we were three different bands.
Yeah.
It was Gary and the Jewel Tones.
Yep.
It was the Bell Boys.
The Bell Boys.
And Donnie and the Donnells.
Donnie and the Donnells.
That's Donnie Irish.
Yeah. Okay. And then Billy Richardson Trio.
Yeah, right.
So actually it was four different bands.
Yeah,
and we got all
right.
these guys together
and
formed the Jaggers.
And there you
we
go.
Took the lead singer.
That's the short version, right?
That's the short version.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I have pictures of all those bands down in my museum.
Okay.
And then I'll go, he's in the Jaggers, he's in the Jaggers, he's in the Jaggers.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we don't want to stop this conversation, but we know a storm's coming.
Yeah, it's lightning.
We're going to stop Facebook Live. We're going to get you undercover and do music.
With
fair
okay.
enough? All right, let's go.
All right, so question of the day.
Question of the day. How many days in a row do you wear your jeans? How often, how long does it take to wash your jeans? How many days
How many
do you
days
wear?
Do you wear a pair of jeans before they go in the wash?
One day.
You know what?
One day, Judy said.
Wait.
Not me, Benny.
Since
I'm like 6'7".
This summer's been so hot. I think I might have had jeans on once or twice. Once or twice.
How about you, Jimmy?
These are from 98.
Oh, that was good.
98.
I love it. All right, we will be back because we have to get the music, but we want to get out of the storms.
Right here at home. Why you got to do is pick up the telephone and dial now. 6, 3, 4, 5, 6.
All right, so it's literally pouring down rain.
Of it, right? Of the podcast.
But we were literally sitting out there with all this electrical equipment and the lightning strike, and we're like, let's keep continuing the podcast.
Yeah, we're really warriors.
Yeah.
We're weather warriors, podcast warriors.
So
and we're going to push through the lightning and thunder
right.
and finish
Thanks
this bad
all
boy.
All of the 2020 Porch Tour podcast sponsors, Mary Mac Bakehouse, Ernie Ritchie Sausage, Taddy Bogle Cider.
Really quickly, we were having our Taddy Bogle Cider, and we were about to talk about it. So we have to get pictures that they were all sipping on it. We had poured it, and they were in their little glasses. You'll see it on Facebook Live, so check it out.
Yes, this was
and
awesome.
Our guests. Did you have right? so much? Did you a little bit fanboy? Because it's easy to like fall
it is
into
easy
that
to fanboy at
yeah.
this place, and it's unbelievable. I could sit. I told Benny and Jim that I could sit and listen to their stories all night long.
Same.
Yeah. So thanks to that. So that leads us to thanks to Jim Ross and Benny Fiallo from the Jaggers,
yep.
original members of the Jaggers,
yep.
for coming here. Thanks to your mom and dad for having us.
Yeah. So thanks to Rorick Honda in Bloomfield because it looks a little different. They are selling inventory at record rates and the showroom looks a little scarce. But the good news is there is a storage area to replenish the new and used best finds.
You can still find your fave style and model in a CRV, Pilot and Fit, with plenty of backups to be put front and center in the showroom. As always, visit Rorick.com for all of your vehicle
needs. 6, 3, 4.
Congratulations on the course.
Well, they're killing me. They're killing me.